Rob Sheffield's been a music journalist for more than 20 years. He's a columnist for Rolling Stone and a best-selling author. Sheffield's new book is called Talking to Girls About Duran Duran, One Young Man's Quest for True Love and a Cooler Haircut. Rob Sheffield talked to Anne Strainchamps and read an excerpt from his book.
If you ever step into the Wayback Machine and zip to the 1980s, you will have some interesting conversations, even though nobody will believe a word you say. You could tell people the 20th century will end without a nuclear war. The Soviet Union will dissolve, the Berlin Wall will come down, and people will start using these things called ringtones that make their pants randomly sing Eye of the Tiger. America will elect a black president who spent his college days listening to the B-52s. But there's one claim nobody will believe. Duran Duran are still famous. I can't believe it myself. I've always been a Duran Duran fan. I was an 80s kid, so I grew up on them. I watched Simon Le Bon and Nick Rhodes give Save a Prayer its world premiere live on MTV. I listened hard to the lyrics of Is There Something I Should Know and pondered its existential vision of romantic love. I've studied their fashion, learned their wives' names, bought their solo albums. I've always been obsessed with Duran Duran, but even more so, I've been obsessed with how girls talk about them. I'm pretty sure Duran Duran would cease to exist if girls ever stopped talking about them, except they never do. Talking to girls about Duran Duran, it's how I've spent my life. I count on the Fab Five to help me understand all the females in my life, all the crushes and true loves, the sisters and housemates, the friends and confidants and allies and heroes. Girls like to talk, and if you're a boy and you want to learn to listen to girl talk, start a conversation and keep it going, that means you have to deal with Duran Duran. You learn to talk about what the girls want to talk about. And it is a truth universally acknowledged that the girls want to talk about Duran Duran.
That's terrific. Well, you also write, it's not just that girls like Duran Duran, it's that all the cool girls like, maybe still like Duran Duran.
It's funny. It's weird how that happens.
But why is that?
I don't know. It's really funny, even with girls who weren't even born when those records came out. That's the totally weird thing. It's like they figured out some sort of musical recipe that taps right into some kind of dancing girl chromosome. I'm not sure I understand, but anytime you're in a club or a bar, one of those songs comes on and, you know, the girls just start moving to the floor.
When you talk with girls about Duran Duran, what do they say? What do you talk about?
They start out talking about Duran Duran, but really it's them talking about their lives and me listening, just trying to figure them out and figure out what they're saying. It's funny that the way we use pop music as fans usually has so little to do with the actual musicians or stars. We really just talk about these songs as a way of talking about ourselves and our dreams and what we want.
Can you take me back to the first time you heard Duran Duran? And do you remember what song it was or where you were?
Oh, yes. I definitely do. It was Hungry Like the Wolf, of course. And I guess for a lot of us 80s kids, that was the first time we ever heard Duran Duran. My grandmother's house. My grandmother had this Irish three-decker in Forest Hills, which is an Irish neighborhood in Boston. And I was in her room listening to her old radio, which had come from sometime in the World War II era. And it had, I still remember that radio so clearly. It was so big and black and had such huge knobs on it. And just hearing this song come out of that sort of antique radio, it was just inexplicably thrilling. The way that they were, you know, mixing up all sorts of, you know, they had, you know, rock guitars, but they also had disco beats, and, you know, they were really shameless about it.
And, I mean, did you go straight out and buy the album?
That was the first hit, and I was like, well, I'll wait for the second hit, because I was a shrewd pop music consumer. Then the next hit was Rio, and then it was the third hit, Save a Prayer, that made me say, fine, I will go all the way with this band and actually buy their album.
Did you also like their appearance, their style?
Yeah, it was funny. I loved their sound before I ever saw what they looked like. But once those videos came along, suddenly I began to think, oh man, you know, I wonder if I could, you know, show up at school and rock that look where, you know, where John Taylor is wearing a blazer, you know, with no shirt underneath and, you know, this Japanese headband around his forehead and, you know, these pleated high waist pants, just the sort of, not so much the specific clothes that they were wearing, but just kind of the bravado that they wore them with, you know? They had no shame at all.
Well, you had three younger sisters, still do, Anne, Tracy, and Caroline. Were they Duran Duran fans too?
Yes, they were. They were really passionate pop music fans, and they had stuff that they were into. Like Duran Duran was one example, and Rick Springfield was another. Rick Springfield was, you know, he was so extreme. He was on General Hospital, and he had that really amazing sort of 80s mullet, and he was always wearing a doctor's coat on General Hospital, so he always looked super suave.
Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed, it ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I wanna make her mine. And she's watching him with those eyes. And she's loving him with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late, late at night.
Funny that, you know, as a boy, you're kind of intrigued by what your sisters are into, and on some level, you want to have some kind of distance from it, and you kind of react against it, but on another level, you know, cool is cool, you know, you just have to give them their due.
Though the bands and the performers that girls think are cool, especially, you know, when you're a teenager, are often not the same bands that guys think are cool. Did you ever feel like you had to sort of hide your enthusiasm for Duran Duran from the other guys you knew?
Not so much hide it, but sort of, you know, figure it out. Because when you're growing up, you're trying to figure out who you are and what it means to become whoever you're becoming. And pop music is such a huge part of that process when you're growing up and getting into music and getting into life. So there's a certain extent to which all those pop singers from the 80s where part of my imagination is I was trying to figure out who I was and what it meant for me to be a boy.
Hmm. Do boys talk about music differently than girls do?
I think it's fair to say. It's hard to describe, but, you know, when I would talk to my sisters about music and, you know, as a boy, you just instinctively switch into that rattling off the discography and, you know, the date and catalog number of every album and which song comes from which album and who actually played on which album and that sort of thing. And I could never get my sisters interested in that.
Sort of, that's treating songs like baseball cards or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. That sort of, as a friend of mine used to call it, boy list language.
The urge to classify.
Yeah.
Of course, it gets complicated because I also think that no matter what music you listen to in your teenage years, that is what you wind up being nostalgic for. You know, maybe it's not the maybe it's not the music. Maybe it's the adolescence we remember with such fondness.
Well, in many ways, it's the same thing. Those are both things that at the time you think, man, I'm never going to look back and ever miss a moment of this. And it's funny that in many ways, I think the 80s have become the decade that people associate with adolescence whenever they grew up, just because it was such an awkward, gawky decade that it reminds people of the awkward, gawky years.
Hmm. What do your sisters think of your book?
Well, they love the book and they were really helpful in terms of getting the story straight. But it's really funny that, you know, when I would show them stuff to read and it would instantly trigger all these same arguments that we've been having since the 80s. It's only now that it's kind of dawning on me that there's no end to those arguments, that listening to my sisters argue about stuff and talk about stuff, that's how we communicate. And it's, you know, it's our way of loving each other and listening to each other.
Like what? What are you still arguing about?
Well, it's funny, like even arguing over who liked which song better, you know, or who's a better driver or who is first to think this. It's really funny. And it's especially funny now that, you know, that I'm getting to spend time with my nieces and nephews and seeing them relate to music and relate to the world around them and remembering when, you know, my sisters and me were their age. It's really funny how my nieces and nephews love Taylor Swift, the country singer, and my sister's little ones who are 3 and 4, a boy and a girl, and they play a game where they will take turns being Taylor Swift, and one will sing, and the other one will clap and cheer, and then it'll be the other one's turn. And they will take turns being Taylor Swift and being the fan, and those are both for them equally magical roles that they just trade back and forth. And I just think that's such a beautiful thing, and it's really funny how much of, you know, learning to listen to each other is, you know, learning that, you know, sometimes you're the singer and sometimes you're the fan.
Wow, that's funny, because that's also what we do when we listen to pop singers, isn't it? You know, if there's a band you really love, as you loved Duran Duran, you know, when you're listening to them, sometimes you're the fan being acted upon by their music, and sometimes you're imagining that you're them.
Yeah, it's really true that in many ways we listen to pop music because it teaches us how to listen to each other.
Rob Sheffield's the author of Talking to Girls About Duran Duran, One Young Man's Quest for True Love and a Cooler Haircut. He spoke with Anne Strainchamps.